The Truth News Network. It takes the media a few weeks to catch up to the talk shows. Congratulations, you're on the cutting edge of the truth. TNN,
The Truth News Network.
And your man on point is Dan Newman.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back today. Before we get started, I have a couple of things I want to tell you. First of all, let me say thank you for being here as long as you have. We have quite a crowd that call themselves TNN partners. We really appreciate you being there. And by the way, if you want to be a subscriber to the blog or podcast, all you do is fill in your name and email address on the front page, bottom right side of our homepage, and you won't get any kind of solicitations. We don't sell anything. What you will get is every time we put up a new podcast or story, you'll get an email with a link so that you can click on the link and go directly to only the new stories. That's one thing I want to say. The second thing, let me just say this. For your sake and for your time and consideration of how valuable it is to you, we have actually cut the length of our podcast and stories. We're going to try to get it so that our podcasts never run longer between 15 and 20 minutes, which means our stories will be about 1,000 words. Sometimes it's tough to do that because the information we give you may have some sound bites, may have some videos that are very important to get in there for context purposes. But on the most part, we're going to make it a little bit briefer to honor your time. Let's get right to today's story. Rhetoric weaponization by Democrats. Rhetoric weaponization by Democrats. Now, let me be completely honest. That title today is only clickbait. I wanted to make certain you joined us for this conversation. Rhetoric is the art of discourse wherein a writer or speaker strives to inform, persuade, or motivate particular audiences in specific situations. It can also be in a visual form. However, rhetoric certainly is being weaponized today. So, weaponization. How does anybody do that? Weaponize it. Well, to create a successful weaponization of something, one must first determine what it will be used for. Example, a kitchen knife. It starts out just as a kitchen knife. Or a crazed and angry person can take that kitchen knife and weaponize it to use to cut somebody's throat. A gun is simply a gun when it's manufactured. But a crazed and angry person can take that gun and weaponize it to use to slaughter a bunch of people at a country concert in Las Vegas. Knives or guns alone are not weapons until someone turns them into weapons. The same holds true for words. And that's the meat of this story today. Rhetoric is not necessarily evil. In fact, most sales presentations in your world all around you are a type of rhetoric because they are used, quote, to inform, persuade, or motivate particular audiences in specific situations. In the case of a car salesman, he's trying to sell you a car. So his rhetoric in his sales presentation is going to be for that purpose. A completed sale is always the goal. But sales presentations are rarely weaponized. Why? Because the objective of sales rhetoric is always positive, the close of the sale. The most common backdrop today for weaponized rhetoric is, of course, politics. And politicians have taken that art form to an entirely new level. It's important to know here that Democrats don't hold an exclusive on doing so. There are plenty of openings at the School of Rhetoric for enrollees from every different political perspective. But Democrats are on the debate stage right now. Republicans, I'm certain, will join the fray as quickly as they can. Today, let's look at what was the first political term weaponized during the early days of the Donald Trump presidency. There have been many since, but the very first one is nationalism. I'm certain that you can remember what happened in Charlottesville, Virginia in 2017. Who can forget the travesty that played out there? A group of American history buffs applied for and received a permit from the city of Charlottesville to protest the decision of Charlottesville City Council to order the removal of Confederate monuments and memorials from public spaces. Unfortunately, though, a large group of white supremacists showed up, along with some neo-Nazi sympathizers who did not apply for permits to legally protest. What ensued was an all-out riot that resulted in several injuries and even one death. In its aftermath, the use of the term nationalism popped up in numerous political situations. To understand what resulted and remains on the public political stage regarding that word nationalism, let's define it. Nationalism is a political, social, and economic system characterized by the promotion of the interest of a particular nation, especially with the aim of gaining and maintaining sovereignty. But unfortunately, the word has been redefined to be a synonym for the term white nationalism or white supremacy. Now, let's be honest. There were white supremacists there, and they initiated the violence in Charlottesville, even the Ku Klux Klan. But the term nationalism was not the driving force behind those people. They were not there to support the fundamentals of the United States of America, rather to support and attempt to force their white supremacist ideology on others. Subsequent to that day, nationalism was weaponized by many Democrats who adopted its use to attack non-black Americans, especially President Trump, and all conservatives. In a post-Charlottesville rally, the president famously stated this, quote, "The term nationalist is a word that some people don't like, but I am a nationalist," said the president. Nationalism has been compared to patriotism most often this way. Patriotism is extreme loyalty and allegiance to one's country. Nationalism takes patriotism one step further, allegiance to one's country over every other country. In the wake of Charlottesville and that statement by Mr. Trump, the weaponizers took off. The demonization of the president that was already at a fever pitch escalated even higher from there. The mainstream media relished receiving a new tool with which to attack President Trump, even promoting, without stating it, that nationalism means the same thing as white supremacy. As an example of how rhetoric weaponization is stealthily crafted in the marketplace, here's how Wikipedia weaponized the entire Charlottesville situation with their explanation of Charlottesville. Now, when you Google nationalization or Charlottesville, Virginia on Wikipedia, here's what comes up. This is a quote. "The Unite the Right rally was a white supremacist rally that occurred in Charlottesville, Virginia from August 11th to 12th of 2017. Now, this is directly from Wikipedia. They continue. "Protesters were members of the far right and included self-identified members of the alt-right, neo-Confederates, neo-fascists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, Klansmen, and various right-wing militias." Wow. WikiLeaks' description explicitly shows the weaponization of language and events for political purposes that had no correlation to what truly happened. Folks, the permit that was pulled by the group for that legal demonstration were from Charlottesville area supporters of those monuments and memorials. Had nothing to do with racial divisiveness. It was in support of remembering the U.S. Confederacy. To help everyone understand how evil today, evil nationalism, is compared to patriotism, leftist media pundits use illustrations like this one. Watch and listen closely.
"When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice.
Patriotism and nationalism, two different concepts, are increasingly being used to mean the same thing, but they don't. And confusing them can be dangerous. So what's the difference? Well, patriotism is defined as love of and devotion to one's country and support for its interests, while nationalism is extreme patriotic feelings where one believes in the superiority of their own country over others. An example of healthy patriotism would be supporting your country's national teams in international tournaments. Then there's this. Earlier this month, over 60,000 Poles came together to celebrate their country's Independence Day. However, the march was marred with banners and slogans celebrating nationalism and white supremacy.
We are Jesus! Rule all of! We are Jesus!
The Polish government's response to the march was conflicted. The president was quick to denounce the march.
Nie ma w naszym kraju miejsca ani zgody na ksenofobię. Nie ma w naszym kraju miejsca na chorobliwy nacjonalizm. Nie ma w naszym kraju miejsca na antysemityzm.
While the Ministry of Foreign Affairs released a statement saying that the march was attended by, quote, people who wanted to peacefully manifest their patriotic feelings. And the Interior Minister called the Crimson Fog March in Warsaw, quote, a beautiful sight. The day ended with 45 arrests, all of them counter-protesters, and not one of them was seen carrying a white supremacist symbol or heard chanting Sing Hail, in a country where Nazis carried out some of the Holocaust's worst atrocities. Leading one to wonder, just how normalized is this patriotic racism becoming? In the U.S., research suggests that support for President Trump was driven largely by racial resentment, which his campaign capitalized on under the guise of patriotism. Hate crimes have risen over 5% since Trump's election, with more than half of them motivated by race. Although we can't say he's the cause, there does appear to be a correlation. Most recently, when football players started kneeling during the national anthem for social justice, President Trump quickly spun the issue to be an insult to veterans and soldiers who fight for the country, and tweeted this: "Courageous patriots have fought and died for our great American flag. We must honor and respect it." The United States is not alone in disguising racism and ultranationalism as patriotic. Marine Le Pen, the leader of the French National Front, which evolved from a neo-fascist anti-Semitic political party, is also guilty of using the same language.
Le patriotisme n'est pas une politique du passé, c'est une politique du futur.
Some European politicians even say that the West is going through a patriotic spring. But is that just another term for nationalism and racism?
Notice two things in that video and that audio clip. Two things. One was the automatic segue from the United States to Europe to give some illustrations there. And the second was the correlation between nationalism and white supremacy. Actually, in the video, the definition segued from nationalism to be exactly the same thing as white supremacy. Know this for a certainty. The left media doing so is not accidental, folks. They weaponize with their own rhetoric anything they can to denigrate every part of conservatism and to attack conservatives, especially Donald Trump. We've got another video and audio clip to give to you that will blow your mind. That and a few final words when we come back with our summary. Right after this, sit tight at Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org.
When madness is the norm, the truth is a radical act of courage. Remain calm. Be brave. Wait for the signs. TNN.
The Truth News Network.
Out for some Lay's and you face a test. Which tasty chip will be the best? Sour cream and onion, smoky barbecue. Cheddar, sour cream, salt and vinegar too. You sample them all, cause the crisp is so good on your lips. Yeah. You left your wallet at home, but now you have a new best friend.
The many flavors of Lay's chips. One taste and you're in love.
Election cycles come and go. White House reporters come and go. The truth is a diamond because it's forever.
TNN, the Truth News Network.
Your jeweler today is Dan Newman.
We don't have to go anywhere else but where we are right now and getting set for the 2020 presidential election. We're not only inundated with rhetoric from Democrats already who want the White House job, but they've also discovered that rhetoric can and will be weaponized. With that as their objective, they certainly have done a fine job doing it so. And what better term is there for them to use with which to inundate their rhetoric and weaponize their rhetoric than racism and its derivative, racist? Who better to demonstrate for us the art of rhetoric weaponization than 2020 Democrat presidential candidates themselves? Here they are in video and audio demonstrating to the world exactly how to maximize one's use of rhetoric in the alliteration and weaponization of the term racism.
We want to turn now to the issue of race in America. We have got to take on Trump's racism.
We'll call his racism out for what it is.
The racial divide lives within me.
Environmental racism, economic racism, criminal justice racism, healthcare racism.
And racism, or crime, or poverty, ended on my watch. But in our
city, that what Trump is doing through his racism,
systemic racism has touched every part of American life.
And segregation and the institutional racism we see now.
President Trump is pursuing a re-election strategy based in part on racial division.
We'll also sign into law Sheila Jackson Lee's reparations bill so that we can have the national conversation we have waited too long in this country to have.
If you did the math of the 40 acres and a mule, given that there was 4 to 5 million slaves at the end of the Civil War, they're 4 to 5, and they were all promised 40 acres and a mule for every family of four. If you did the math today, it would be trillions of dollars.
At white wealth gap in America.
Racial issues.
The racial divide lives within me.
$50 billion into historically black colleges and universities. Close the black-white wealth gap in America.
Systemic racism has touched every part of American life. If you walk into an emergency room and you are black, your reports of pain will be taken less seriously. If you apply for a job and you are black, you are less likely to be called just because of the name on the resume.
Majority of domestic terrorism cases this year have been motivated by white supremacy. In fact, the alleged shooter in this weekend's attack in Gilroy, California, referenced a well-known white supremacist book on social media. How are you going to combat the rise of white supremacy?
We need to call out white supremacy for what it is, domestic terrorism.
It's why I've proposed that we do everything from investing in historically redlined neighborhoods,
Mayor,
to build black wealth in home ownership.
Thank you, Mayor.
To supporting entrepreneurship for black
Thank
Americans.
You very much.
We need to recognize that when it comes to the economic gap between blacks and whites in America, it does come from a great injustice that has never been dealt with.
73% of African Americans are in favor of cash payments to black Americans who are descendants of slaves. How do you respond to them?
Well, I was the wealth that we have built, the way we became the greatest country on the face of the planet, was literally on the backs of those who were kidnapped and brought here by force. The legacy of slavery and segregation and Jim Crow and suppression is alive and well in every aspect of the economy and in the country today.
It was 250 years of slavery, followed by another 100 years of domestic terrorism.
How are you going to combat the rise of white supremacy?
Race. Racism.
Racism.
Racial.
Racism. Racism. Racism.
And racism.
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 Segregation.
On racial division.
Racial issues. And racial divide.
Of slaves.
Slavery.
Slavery.
White supremacy.
They sure know how to demagogue and weaponize those terms, don't they? Do you know what's pivotal in this conversation? It's not so much the actual terms that are used. It's the context in which they are used. Too often, especially in the media, who are almost always driven by a political agenda, they do not include an entire conversation and certainly don't give an explanation of the context in which words are used by politicians who they want to paint into a political perspective to enhance the story. Donald Trump, in the context of his 50-plus years of which almost were very public shows, no propensity for white supremacy in those 50 years in business. In fact, his life illustrates the exact opposite of that. But showing that fact does not play into the narrative the left portray of Mr. Trump. They must weaponize the term nationalist to be a negative connotation and not what Mr. Trump's use actually was for. Racism is far too often used in the same way. Senator Warren, in her alliteration in the previous video and audio segment, used her weaponization of the term to demean Mr. Trump in every way she could. I mean, if she, in that conversation, had been referring to a dog, she would have accused Mr. Trump of being a dog racist. Adopting this practice is unspeakably dangerous. Why is that? Well, the constant bashing of people by the left actually crushes Americans' understanding and belief in the seriousness of true racism and true nationalism. Both terms represent critically important ideas, and taking them and weaponizing them to be used to attack someone for political purposes destroys in people's minds the importance of what the words really represent. Literally, Calling everyone with which one disagrees a racist or white supremacist is the political weaponization that waters down the travesties of both, and both can be evil. If our leaders, many of whom have already been on presidential debate stages, are so callous to the certain results of their doing so, how can Americans trust that their intentions are sincere and honest? It's much like the child story about the little boy that kept crying wolf. You remember that story? He cried wolf all the time and people would run. And when they got there, there was no wolf at all. Well, when a real wolf came along and was about to attack and eat him, his cries were ignored by those folks around him. God forbid that Americans would ever become numb to racism, to nationalism used in the bad way, like in white supremacy. But that could certainly happen, and it may have already. Politicians need to learn this lesson. Hold allegations against anyone and everyone unless and until all the facts are known and that those facts are real and applicable to the situation in which they are referencing. They too need to remember that practice cuts both ways. I would be horrified if in this election cycle the weaponization of rhetoric would occur on both sides of the political aisle. So far, and again, maybe it's just because Republicans haven't started their debates, it's only on the Democrat side. If that happens, if it turns up going both ways, you can be sure Americans will quickly tune out. And we know all Americans engaged in seeing, hearing, and processing all the facts about political candidates running for office is what really needs to happen. And that cannot happen if Americans tire of back-and-forth rhetoric and simply turn a deaf ear. Honestly, I'm pretty sure that many Americans already have. I didn't watch a minute of either of the last two debates. But maybe some politicians are glad that has happened. They might like the fact that nobody's tuned in to hear the crap that they're spewing on the debate stage. Hey, that's a wrap today. I went over by 2 minutes my promise to cut everything to 20 minutes or less, and that was because we had to get in both of those video and audio sound bites for you to illustrate what we're talking about today, the weaponization of language, specific words, in political conversations. Hey, thanks for being here today. Don't forget, I want to make sure you get every story. Put your email address and your name on the front page of the website. Just put it there. We'll enroll you. You won't get any advertising. We don't ask anything from you. We don't sell anything to you. It'll just make sure when a new podcast or story goes up, when you click on that link, you go straight to that story at truthnewsnet.org. I know everything in your life is going great, and that's wonderful. I pray that it continues. We'll get together again, and until then, I want to make sure you have a great day. So long, everybody.
Facts and evidence is all you'll see and hear on TNN, the Truth News Network. Find it exclusively at truthnewsnet.org.